Hey everybody, and welcome to your Thursday, March 7th Junkcast, the only manga podcast to be always online. Joining me this week are Greg Jan and Mike Lemieux.
Hello.
Screw always online gaming. No.
Well, screw always online everything.
Always online internet. Ugh, terrible.
Yeah.
Truly.
That's an awful idea. Why did you come up with that terrible idea, Mike?
If you guys want these Junkcasts on CD, just write me.
You shouldn't offer. Someone's going to take you up on that.
I think I'm actually going to specifically request that you burn one and mail it to me just because.
I technically archive all of these. I charge.
I will volunteer to do CD art.
I don't know if it's up yet, but we have new cover art for the Junkcast, which may come up this podcast or the next one.
I imagine it would just go up with whenever you upload this podcast.
Yeah, but I have to actually fit it for the feed, which I haven't done yet. So, we'll see if it's with this one by the time you listen to this or the next one.
It sure is pretty.
Yes, it is. It's also very big.
Yeah. Those are the new requirements. Apparently, iTunes really wants iPad Retina users to have cover art.
Blame Apple for your 2 megabyte album art.
Yep.
It's 2 megabytes?
Yes, like 2.5.
I didn't bother seeing that. I just saw that it was like, what, 14,000 by 14,000 or 1,400 or something like that?
1,400, yeah.
As someone who loves optimization, it physically hurt me to do that.
Speaking of being physically hurt.
Yeah, that's good.
We start Beelzebub with Nasu being laid out from Oga's punch in the previous chapter.
Nipple tassels intact.
Yeah. Then we hear a cell phone conversation with someone named Sumeragi. Who, do we know the person?
I think Sumeragi is Nasubi's last name. Or, no.
No, he's talking about Nasubi.
Yeah, to Sumeragi. No, I don't think that name is familiar.
Okay. So we see a person sitting in a school gym talking on a cell phone to Sumeragi. And then we get a look at the person and they say, "How will the Lord of the Flies fare now?"
Yes.
Which, I did not make this connection initially, but...
But I did because I'm crazy. Remember we were talking a couple weeks ago about the demon when Oga was in the demon world that helped him with the long hair? Yes, that person refers to Oga as the Lord of the Flies also.
And what chapter was this in?
47. Well, technically, like, I think he shows up in 44 first. So, over, let's say 150
150 chapters, yeah.
Yeah.
So this is kind of a huge callback.
3 years, just about.
And we had some back and forth about whether this is the same guy, and it's clearly not.
No, whenever they show the close-up on that guy's eyes, they're like sullen and small. And
yeah.
This person looks more female and has like brighter eyes.
Yeah. Yeah, apparently there's an organization which refers to Oga as the Lord of the Flies.
Which is cool.
I guess.
It's a nice name.
It adds more to this than just simple, some high school students have demon powers.
Yes, I am glad that we are back into an overarching story sort of thing.
Yes.
Yeah, just a year later.
Yeah. And actually, speaking with the overarching story, what I was focused on this page was the name of the chapter, which is Daddy Switch. So I was grinning the entire time that we went through this chapter.
Yeah, that's where I remember Daddy
Switch
from.
That's a callback to the Jabberwocky fight that we discussed that in our Manga of the Year podcast.
Best chapter of the year. Last time Daddy Switch was used.
Wait, which one? Oh, he turns on the Daddy Switch.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. For some reason, I was thinking it was like a Beelzebub switching fathers.
Apparently, a bunch of other people did too. So you're not alone in that. But nah, yeah. I saw that and I was expecting what occurred.
But yeah, so they go back to the Nasubi Oga fight, wherein Nasu is not completely laid out by the punch that Oga gave after breaking his binding spell.
Honestly, he doesn't seem very phased at all and kind of starts doing a
like
Gungam style?
Sentai. Like Sentai. He looks like a putty man.
Well, yeah. No, it looks like he's trying to do, it looks like a variation of Drunken Fist, but I was trying to make a kung fu joke, but okay.
But then all that's just for show is he, like, teleports and then kicks Oga in the chin while doing
and
a handstand.
He slowly starts making more demon symbols all over his body.
Yeah, the one that he has begins to grow out like a branch.
Yeah.
and then he gets a bunch more on his arms and elsewhere.
Yeah, so they're not tattoos, they're just demon symbols. They're fluid.
And he taunts Oga, saying, "This is how you truly use a demon's power."
Right. You're not supposed to play daddy with them.
Yeah, you're supposed to suck them dry, basically.
And then he goes kind of crazy.
Yeah, I really like the art in this chapter of all the demon circle symbols. Every time he punches, and
he grabs Oga's head and starts bashing it against the wall with, looks like about 14 times. Well, he says, "And use him," referring to Beals.
Yeah,
and Beals is understandably freaked out.
Yeah. He continues to call him Little Beezy.
Yeah.
Which I do like that.
So he refers to Oga as the leader of the Tohoshinki.
Yeah.
Yeah, and saying that he should have brought the entire team because, you know, that little punk is no match for any of his guys.
Yeah.
And then he turns around to find the rest of his men beaten to a pulp.
Was Kenzaki originally the leader of the Tohoshinki? No, it was Tojo, right?
Yeah.
I think he's talking to the guy who's on the ground. He's saying that.
He was the original key, because the Tohoshinki used to be made up of their names.
Oh, that makes sense. But then he quit and joined Nasio's group?
Yeah, somewhere along.
Yeah, isn't he the guy who it used to, like, he said that, he was on par with Tojo or something like that?
Yeah,
was
they fought to a draw or something like that.
Yeah.
And now Kenzaki's beat him.
Like, Kenzaki seems to have taken a few hits, but he seems not much worse for the wear.
Yeah. But apparently
he's
all he really...
without much trouble.
All he really contributed to this current chapter is distracting Nasu long enough for Oga to get up.
Yeah. Oga is also not too worse for the wear after getting his head bashed in.
Yeah. And Nasu is apparently scared of Oga right now. And Oga references the daddy switch.
Yes. And says he makes absolutely no sense and leaves a fist imprint in his cheek.
Yeah.
And Hilda smiles.
Yeah. Kenzaki looks flabbergasted. And whoever was on the phone earlier is walking by.
Yeah. Very interesting chapter from a story perspective.
Yeah. Just that one or two pages of the person on the cell phone probably did more story development in the last year.
Yeah. Beals isn't something that I thought would have, like, a callback to 150 chapters ago, but...
That's a very Oda thing to do.
Yeah.
Well, I think that that was something that he specifically wrote in knowing that he would reference it at some future time. Like, that was a very, very blatant seed that he could call back to whenever he felt like it.
I wonder if he just has, like, a skeleton story that's maybe 50 chapters or so, and just writes everything around that. That he just fills in the details whenever necessary. And he's been distracted by the Age of Furuichi stuff, the beach stuff, for so long that he's never needed to call back to the hell stuff.
Looking it
seems
up,
plausible.
It is worth noting that Beelzebub literally means the Lord of the Flies.
Yeah.
But still, they're specifically calling him that.
Are they referring to Oga, or are they referring to Beals?
They seem to refer specifically to Oga. Like, this person in the past chapter is definitely just talking to Oga.
Yeah.
Because at that point, I don't think Beals is even with him.
Beals was giant around that time, wasn't he?
Yeah, he helped Oga stop Beals.
Yeah, I'm more interested now to see where this goes than I was before, and I was already kind of interested. Like, when this was just a high school story, it was like, okay, it's good that Beals is getting back into manga, or battle manga. But now it's like, oh, it's really good that Beals is getting back into story.
In the chapter where Nasu showed up, I saw, I think it was the NeoGAF manga thread, someone said something like, "Did Beelzebub Part 2 start and nobody told me?" You know, that's just kind of what it feels like.
Yeah.
Like, there's just been, like, a massive shift in both quality and, like, genre,
tone,
really.
And...
Yeah.
I mean, and now is as good a time to do it as anyway. It's the 4th anniversary.
Yeah. I really do wonder if you're right, if it's just, like, he had a year's worth of story planned out, and then it became super popular. And they just told him, stretch.
I'm sure most
manga
can
really
like
say
that.
Super popular. I mean, it's been hanging on, but it hasn't been doing fantastic in the rankings.
It got an anime at one point.
Yeah, at the time it had an anime and it was marked really well. It's just recently been kind of going down.
I think that anime was totally mismarketed.
Well, it was, yeah. They edited, like, the fighting out of it.
Yeah. They tried to make it about the wacky adventures of Beals, which that manga, the manga is sort of that, but it's that with a kind of a violent, dark edge.
It's that juxtaposed next to people getting the crap beat out of them.
Yeah.
All I know about the Beelzebub anime is that one closing that you guys sent to me.
Sony Music took all those down.
You don't still have them?
I might. Maybe I'll use it this episode. We haven't used it in a while.
All Beelzebub music.
Well, I had that
one.
Well,
I'm sure you can find the official music video of that someplace or something.
No, that's the thing. Sony Music took all that stuff down.
Yeah, they're
really
vicious. They're vicious.
Yeah. Like, it's very hard to find anime EDs and OPs that aren't, like, edited or
flipped.
Even, like, they still catch the audio on that, though.
Well, so, they have the ones that they do, like, the pitch up or down, which is really weird.
Or the people like, oh, this is my cover of Asian Kung Fu Generation Haruka Kanata.
And just, like, them sitting in their bedroom with a guitar.
Yeah. It's like, no, why would I want to ever hear this? Literally ever. But yeah, Beelzebub. I like how Hilda basically has no place in this chapter except looking shocked at the beginning and smiling at the end.
Yeah, she could, you know, help against this demon contractor dude.
Or even say
that's
something.
Ogre's fight. She doesn't care.
For which he has even less.
Beel goes to Nasu, and then she becomes his boyfriend, or girlfriend, right?
Yeah, would she be totally cool with that if Beelzebub just wanted to go with Nasu instead?
I think that's going to happen at some point, right? Like, that's going to be the test of how Hilda feels about Oga.
They're hinting at it with Nasu being strong, but I'm wondering if it's not going to happen with the third person, you know, the strongest one, obviously. Whoever, Taka or Fuji, whoever it ends up
being. We have, like, a number of Fujis in this week.
Oh, man. Yeah, it's the Fuji week.
Yeah.
What was I going to say? one thing I've noticed is that Nasu's Naruto whiskers keep coming and going. And it makes me wonder if in the original drawings, because, you know, they do these a few weeks out, he actually didn't have the whiskers in his second appearance, but they played so well that he went back and drew them in. Because I would love it if that was the case. Because they're kind of inconsistently drawn, like, over hair and stuff.
Yeah.
Like, he just quickly went in and drew them back on.
I'm just wondering if maybe it was, like, you know, one of the assistants was supposed to do that, and then just kind of...
I like how it's been, like, a day... Sometimes. It's been a day since Beals drew those on, and he just never washed them off.
Yeah, I mean, the drawing on Oga's hand is gone.
Yeah.
I wouldn't put it past Nasu not to, like, wash his face or take a shower.
I wouldn't put it back Nasu to not care.
Just leave it.
It's hard to tell, but I think they're gone when Oga punches him at the end.
Well, that happened last week, too.
Yeah.
And then they came back.
Oh, yeah, we speculated last week.
He punched
him off.
He just likes Naruto.
Maybe he keeps putting him back on.
It's like, this look is good for me. I have the demon fox inside of me. That is my power.
Is it me, or does Naruto get referenced in other Jump manga way more than any other manga does? Like, except for Dragon Ball.
I think it's easier to reference.
Yeah, you can just put cat whiskers on people.
Or headbands, or what have you.
Yeah.
Like, you never see somebody just put on a straw hat or something.
Well, I mean, you might, but putting on a straw hat doesn't necessarily make it a One Piece reference unless they say something about being the king of the pirates, you know?
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of which manga it was, but I read one where they sang We Are in the manga. Like, it gets referenced.
Maybe it's just because it's been so recent with the Ask Class 1 not too long ago and this one here.
Just all lining up in a row.
Yeah.
And then
but Beelzebub is not shy from references.
Naruto had a shocking amount of Naruto in it lately, too.
Actually, not this week.
No.
Not for the last couple of weeks, really. But we'll get to that later. Final thoughts or predictions on Beelzebub?
I think this is going to be the end of Nasu. Right
His exit's going to be next week, I would say. Do you guys think Oga's going to master this multi-symbol thing soon?
I think he's going to go back to Sao Tome and try and figure out what spellcasters are about.
Yeah. Get, like, actual training after almost losing to someone like this.
Yeah.
Yeah, I actually don't think he's going to have the multiple symbol thing this arc, but that'll be something that he will suddenly, like, It'll be a point in the future that we know exists that he can grow to, but that he's not going to use this time.
Because even Nasu kind of acts like the multiple symbol thing's just like a normal progression. I wonder if there's like even further steps to that, you know.
You know what would be super interesting sick. If Oga has to work with Behemoth? Because presumably Behemoth is against these guys too.
Common enemy, if there's some greater threat.
Yeah, because they don't seem to be with N. They're with some sort of anti-demon group.
Yeah. And I think given this person, the person in the beginning, their suit, I think it's safe to assume that they are the ones who bankrolled the school. They're dressed classy.
And the school gym for some reason.
Yeah.
It would make sense. All right. Don't feel bub.
Yeah.
Then let's move on to Bleach.
Not a single word.
So let's move on to... No.
The...
Rapping guy. Killer Bee.
The sword guy points out that Renji knows too that Ichigo has something-something vague conversation.
And
something-something... Ichigo is different because he didn't have a normal sword that he awakened into his sword just like everybody else.
And I like how he still tries to go through and justify every other non-normal sword. It's like, Kenpachi stole his, and I guess that counts.
Yeah, everybody's given one. Except Kenpachi, he found his, but that worked out anyway, so...
So if Ichigo stole his, it would have been fine? I don't know. I feel like Kubotite is addicted to, when he comes up with an idea, trying to figure out how to make it work and everything else. Which normally is laudable, but it happens so often and in such rapid succession.
Basically.
But yeah.
Then we have to... Then Ichigo basically needs to find out, you know, the source of his own soul or something like that. So, Quincy powers. Something.
But first, something. Flashbacks.
Yay. And it's a flashback that Bleach occasionally does good flashbacks, and I'm enjoying this one as far as it is.
The 100 years ago flashback arc was great.
Yeah.
And this so far is really good too.
I mean, it was nice to see young Rengeku.
Yeah. Although I'm unclear on how long ago this is.
I think that it's intentionally left vague. It's at some point in the past 100 years.
Yeah, I think we have to have a time limit for this, right? Because there was a point where they gave a date when Hitsugaya was not actually a Shinigami yet.
Yeah, well, I'm guessing that this was, you know, roughly, you know, 20 years ago or something like that, because the assumption is that
his mom's human, so...
Exactly, and he goes to the real world and meets Ichigo's mom, so...
And isn't Hitsugaya the latest captain at the start of the series?
Yes.
Like, they tease him for being...
He's the newest one, and he has a chip on his shoulder about it.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it all fits in.
Yeah.
So this has to be, like, yeah. I'd say 15 years ago, let's say.
So, is Matsumoto, right?
Yeah.
Is she supposed to recognize Ichigo? Like, is that a thing that's ever come up?
No.
I don't think anybody other than Rukia has ever pointed it out.
Because, he's very clearly like his father.
Yeah, they're
well,
similar.
Not just very clearly like his father, he's very clearly like his uncle.
Yeah.
Which, good call last week, whichever one of you two that was.
Yo.
I think it must have been Mike, because I don't know what you're talking about.
It's revealed that Ishin's last name is Ishin Shiba, from the Shiba clan.
The fireworks people?
Yeah. So I guess they're Ichigo's cousins, kind of?
Yeah. Ganju and Kukaku would be his cousins. Because she has made reference to an uncle before.
Yeah.
So do they know that?
I don't think so. They can probably guess, given the fact that Ichigo looks exactly like their brother.
But nobody's actually pointed it out yet.
No, nobody's bothered to tell him.
That's the kind of thing that makes me think that Kubotide doesn't have most of this planned out. But
I don't know. He had the guy that looked exactly like Ichigo.
But he has lots of guys that look exactly like Ichigo.
I think that it's just an idea that he had, but never bothered to roll with it until now. So it's just everybody had convenient amnesia.
I think he's making a plot point out of a parallel. That he made him look like Ichigo just so Rukia would have that attachment to Ichigo.
Yeah, but he managed. He still managed to bring it around.
Yeah. Anyway,
I'm fine with it. I think it's a good twist. It's not really even a twist. It's just an interesting plot development.
Yeah, it's an interesting development.
If they just
and
leave
Ishin
it here,
and
it's
Matsumoto bounce well off of one another.
Yeah, he's perverted. She is wanting nothing of it. None of it.
The one thing that bothers me is that Ishin's personality is basically the other guy whose name I can't remember. The one who had who's now the captain or captain of captains.
Who's it?
Yeah,
I don't know. Ishin seems a lot more perverted.
I don't know. It's the same thing where he'll get serious and then say something perverted.
Yeah, like that. The sweat glistening off her chest is really nice.
Yes. Oh, apparently she dropped that scarf thing when she got passed over for captain.
Yeah.
They talk about this with Hitsugaya being the third seat, and him saying it's pretty much both Ishin and Hitsugaya agreeing it's pretty much inevitable he'll be the next captain.
Yeah, because Rangoku is not fit for the job at all.
And Hitsugaya is about to learn his Bankai.
And then they have a really long conversation about Hitsugaya eating Ishin's snack.
Yeah, his manju. Which I guess, you know, to show how well they all play off each other.
Yeah, they all get along good.
Which still baffles me that they all knew each other this well and no one can tell that Ichigo is his son.
I thought about it while reading the manga, but I don't think anyone other than Rukia has ever actually met Ichigo's father. Of the Shinigami.
And Urahara, but yeah.
Yeah, but of course Urahara.
And I mean, he knows, but since when does he ever tell anybody anything useful?
Well, first he'd have to be somewhere useful to tell people things. Not just
but he can just
desert.
Call them on their cell phone.
He could. So they talk about a series of murders that have been happening to Shinigami in, I'm guessing, Karakura Town?
Yeah.
That would be the assumption at this point.
So is this before or after what happened last week with...
It's before, I would guess.
Okay. Yeah.
He's not hurt. He takes off to check it out by himself, and in a panel I love, he shoots Matsumoto like the gun fingers, saying he'll be fine.
Hitsugaya explains that they would just be hindrances if they went with him.
Because the idea is that Ishin is that much more powerful than them.
Yeah.
And then we cut to Aizen, everyone's favorite villain who's already been defeated.
Oh, God damn it, Aizen. And Gin and Kaname are there too.
Yeah, and apparently, you know, they're trying to draw out the visored people.
Everything is going according to Keikaku.
Which of them was actually not evil?
Gin.
Okay.
He was just playing the long con, and by long con,
yeah,
I mean like 120 years.
Incredibly evil for a terribly long time. Just
for a
to,
century.
Yeah. just to get, you know, one shot that he perceived he could do on Aizen after Aizen had powered up how many times?
Yeah.
Did it succeed?
No. Of course not. He got killed.
Yeah, he straight up died.
Good for Gin.
Kaname died too, after turning into a giant bug.
Yeah, I remember you guys explaining that one to me.
Yeah.
I remember not
believing
it.
Now, to be fair, the manner of his death was kind of fantastic.
Kaname? I don't remember the specific.
That was his lieutenant, the one that has the awesome...
69 tattoo? Hisagi.
Yeah, the awesome release. Like, he just had his sword straight out at him and then had it release so that the blade went straight up through his jaw, through his brain.
Ouch.
At least awesome. I seem to remember that being how it happened.
That's probably how it happened.
So, do you think there's a reason they showed all these guys? Like, is there more to this Aizen plot?
Well, I think they're tied into the Shinigami Killer.
Yeah, and I think that they're going to be, for whatever reason that causes Ishin to stay in the real world. And I think that the stupid thing that we're going to find out this arc that is going to make absolutely no sense, you know, and that they're going to retcon it, is that I think that Ishin will end up also becoming a visored.
I think he just gets too close to Aizen's plot and has to hide out in the human world. Fake his death or whatever.
I think he gets assigned to protect Quincy's. and he can't tell anyone anything about it for some reason.
And
because
then
Bleach.
He does a terrible job at it when they're all eradicated?
Yes. That would make sense to me. So Sony brought up something else that there was a weird, mysterious training session where Ishida got all his powers back.
Yes.
That maybe this is going to also happen with Ichigo.
Oh yeah, that special room in the hospital.
Yeah, where he has to completely be drained by himself and then shot with a Quincy arrow in the heart or something like that.
I could see that happening, like Ishida helps him with that training in secret or something.
Oh yeah, Ishida's still somewhere.
Possibly. He's still a character, maybe. He's like
Bleach
the
in a nutshell.
He's like the anti Sasuke. He's just like never around ever.
They set him up as the rival early on, and then they switched rivals like four more times in that arc.
Well,
everybody
funny,
is
like,
his.
It was, I hate Shinigami, I'm never going to help them, except I'm going to help you on every one of your adventures, and never have a problem with it.
Except when it mattered.
Except when he couldn't be there for plot development reasons.
Yeah. So yeah, Aizen.
This was a good chapter, Aizen aside, I think.
Do you remember when they introduced the Soul King a while back, and they're like, this probably has something to do with something, and then...
And he loves Ichigo for something.
Then he got Ichigo got tossed out.
He'll be relevant again when it turns out he's evil and they have to team up with Aizen to stop him.
Yeah.
You'll see. You'll all see.
I'm saying Soul King's probably evil.
Oh, don't try to backpedal now.
I've been saying that for months. All right.
So what do you guys think? One more chapter, flashbacks, or a few?
I say a few.
Yeah, a few.
Yeah, I guess,
but that's okay. But in general, for the most part, I enjoy Bleach flashbacks.
How long?
I like Ishin more than Ichigo. So
how long was the 100 years ago thing? That was what, like 4 or 5 chapters?
No, that was like a dozen, I think.
Was it?
Yeah.
I wonder if this one's going to be the same length. I'd be fine with that, I guess, if it stays interesting.
I'd be fine if it stays interesting. I don't think that there's enough going on in this one to warrant that.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think this will be less about Soul Society and more about Karakura Town. Because it's about how Ichigo was born.
Learning about Masaki Kurosaki.
Also, does Ichigo need to know any of this stuff?
Yeah, this is just like the first Hokage. It's like, this is way too much setup for what you need to tell me.
Like, I'm part Quinty, right? Like, that's what I need to know? Okay?
I've got crap to do.
Like, yeah, I fought Aizen. Do you not remember that? Oh, yeah, I meant to warn you about him.
Yeah, not a good guy. you might have wanted to know that before you went to Soul Society, but, you know, you should have said something. Like,
actually,
I'm going to be gone for a while. I'm going to, you know, be in the world of the dead.
That
I could have prepared you really well.
That would have been that would be a fantastic ending to the story. It's like, no, don't trust Aizen.
Yeah.
Trust me on this.
Son, I have a shocking revelation. Aizen is evil. Yeah, I killed him. Or beat him.
Well, do you know about Kaname? You could probably trust Gin.
Who's Kaname? He's the guy with the glass?
He's like the only black guy you'll see. Trust me, it's going to be hard to miss him.
He's the only black guy with a soul, so he ends up in, you know...
I was imagining Ishin trying to describe him without calling him the black guy.
I mean...
He's the he's got the glasses and the robes.
He's the blind swordsman.
Not the one in the clouds that builds swords. He's different. But there's two, so be aware of that. Don't get them confused. I did that once. It was awkward. All right. Guess we're done with Bleach.
Yeah.
Speaking of black people in Nisekoi.
Well, do we want to talk about World Trigger first?
Well, I'll just say it's continued to get better with every chapter for the most part. The first actual fight is going on, so people who are interested, there's only 4 chapters right now, so you might want to check it out. And we find out that, like, when they use their powers thing, which causes them to suit up, I can't remember what it's called right now, it basically grants them an extra life, is what it seems to boil down to. Like, when they get killed, when they're in that form, the power breaks and they snap back into their normal form sort of thing. So we see the protagonist get, you know, his arm chopped off and get stabbed through the chest twice and that sort of thing. And so as a mechanic, that can set it up for some rather gruesome scenes just by having the ability of every one of them to have an extra life, so to speak.
That's kind of cool. So they can just straight up kill people and not have them die.
Yeah. And then at the end of the chapter, the neighbor kid is going to end up using the protagonist's powers somehow, like his border thing, so that the border agents that are obviously rapidly approaching wouldn't detect that it's a powerful neighbor that's killing the other neighbor, so he can stay hidden. So apparently they can use one another's triggers or whatever they're called.
Abilities.
Yeah. So yeah, it has genuinely, it seems to be getting successively better with each successive chapter. So it's worth a look if you're looking for something new.
I really need to get around to reading that.
Yeah, let's do this. I'll read it this week and we'll talk about whether or not it warrants a permanent spot here. Because we seem to talk about it every week.
I think we should wait to see how it does in the rankings before we decide whether it deserves a permanent spot.
I don't know. We went with Ass Class early.
True.
It would not be against our principles.
We also went with Barrage early.
Yeah. So we kind of don't have great
taste.
It's 50-50. Well, I was going to say a good record with this, but that too.
We have great taste. It's just those goddamn voters that don't have good taste.
So speaking of poor taste...
I still love you, Takama Gohara.
Well, you ruined my transition, but... Nisekoi!
Speaking of love, what do you mean I ruined it?
Eh. You love Takama Gohara in ways that Nisekoi cannot understand.
Takama Gohara is so tsundere to me.
Just... You were its harem.
It only needed you.
Anyway, New Year Shrine.
Yeah. Nisekoi continues its big thing of...
being 2 months off.
Yeah, pretty much.
On page 3, I was about to go, hell yeah, called it, and then it gets to the next pages, and then you realize, wait, it's all of them. Never mind.
Yeah, Mari shows up first. Yep. Apparently not as stricken as we assumed. Like, we thought that she wouldn't be in on a...
I'm guessing somebody filled her in on the details.
Yeah,
so.
Probably... I imagine when she had a knife to her wrist, someone told her. I'm just going to fill it in myself. So anyway, Raku and his friend are volunteering at a temple on New Year's. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they convince all the girls to dress up like shrine maidens.
Good call.
Yeah. So Raku falls head over heels for Onodera when she appears.
Yeah, basically one by one they all show up, and Chitoge and Onodera are last.
Chitoge is befuddled by her shrine maiden robe.
Yes. Can't figure it out.
Yeah. He gives his best friend a handshake saying, shrine maidens are pretty nice, aren't they?
They have a moment of bonding over how hot the girls look at him.
Except for, what's her name, Miyamoto?
Yeah.
Who no one pays attention to.
And in probably the best panel of this chapter, the I don't really care, but I'm still kind of pissed off punch.
Yes, for not being noticed.
Yeah. So they meet the old lady who runs the shrine, who points out, hey, Raku seems to be cursed.
He's possessed by some demon of bad luck.
Yeah.
Because
all the unpopular boys have been wishing that the popular boys get theirs.
And to be fair, I think most of us would probably, you know,
hate
kind
Raku?
Of hate him, hate his life.
I hate Raku now, but...
So, immediately a bird craps on him, he slips on a banana peel somehow, and then falls downstairs.
That very kind of graphic bird shitting.
Yeah.
Like that, I kind of cringe looking
spot.
At that. Yeah.
Well, at least his mouth wasn't open.
At least.
I've thankfully never been crapped on by a bird.
I have. It's not great.
Yeah, can't say that I've ever had it happen.
The shrine lady explains that if they don't heal him or free him from this curse in the next couple of hours, he will probably die within next year. And then it does the Nisekoi thing that, for no reason, they can't tell him this.
Yeah, and...
Well, no, I thought that they specifically said it wouldn't work.
Yeah, I mean...
If. So,
but for
so
no
it's
reason
not
it
no
wouldn't...
reason.
It's no reason, pretty much. It's there that they actually bothered to call it out is what surprised me. Because
they actually attempted to justify it this time.
Yeah. In any other Nisekoi chapter, they wouldn't even say it. Just be like, yeah, you just can't tell them because.
So on top of not being able to explain themselves, the methods are also kind of...
strange.
Yes, let's put it that way. So she has a charm that can KO any spirit. And it needs to be placed on a very... What's the way she puts it? Like, a place on his body that creates light, like, lots of
generates
life force.
A lot of life force, yeah.
Yes, which is obviously his butt.
Yes, expels harmful substances.
Yes, that's right. That's how they put it. And I love all the girls' reactions after that.
And Chitoge, I guess, volunteers to do this one?
Or gets stuck doing it.
Yeah. So she orders Raku to strip. And in the commotion, accidentally drops his charm in the water.
Okay, so second method.
Rodere has to hug him for a minute.
Yes. And she successfully does that. In, like, what must be, like, otherwise a really sweet scene of her saying, just don't say anything, just stay still. And
yeah.
And then Raku is, of course, a little freaked out because she just kind of runs off after that. But it didn't work.
Yeah, it just didn't work. I love that. No explanation.
And then there's the sake holy water, which has to be administered mouth to mouth.
So Mari immediately grabs it, fills her mouth, and bolts straight for Raku.
Yes. And Raku runs because this is weird.
And then he notices the other three girls also have their mouths full of something and are running at him.
And somehow they're having a conversation while running with their mouths full.
All women can do that. Men can't understand it, but, you know.
Because someone's going to steal Raku's first kiss.
I love that Raku even questions how they're talking.
And in the process, Raku gets beaten up by the bell.
Yes,
which was the other solution.
That they decided they couldn't do, because it would kill him. But it's a manga, so he's fine. And then they explain to him the whole thing in haha misunderstanding.
Yeah, explain it, because it's New Year's, and it doesn't matter now.
Yeah. And then the old lady thinks to herself, he was being haunted, but the bad luck he already had with women is just going to keep going.
Yeah.
Because he has such terrible luck.
Happy New Year's, Jump.
It's March.
Happy New Year's, Jump.
So what 8-chapter thing did they just kind of stick in there that's caused everything else to get pushed back?
It had to have been the Romeo and Juliet stuff, right?
It would only be 6 chapters because of the 2 weeks off after New Year's.
Oh, true, yeah.
Like, I think it had to have been... He had to get that Romeo and Juliet stuff in there.
Maybe he just doesn't care about making it timely.
Maybe.
Yeah, I mean, S-Class doesn't seem to care that much.
But S-Class doesn't really do anything with its seasons.
Well, S-Class also, time is important.
Yeah.
Sure. They can't just jump around.
But yeah, I guess cute chapter, but it kind of... It exemplifies everything that annoys me about Nisekoi.
Not explaining
things?
It was
silly and entertaining.
That everything is that, like, if somebody just said something, it would be fine.
So you don't like the sitcom misunderstandings?
I like it occasionally, but it happens every... I would say out of every 5 chapters, it happens at least 3 of them. So like 60% of this manga is entirely that one storyline.
Man, that's romance manga. I don't know what to tell you.
I feel like most romance manga gets some variety in it more often than Nisekoi does. If Nisekoi did not have such nice reaction shots and cute drawings, I don't think it would be as entertaining.
Yeah, I kind of hope next week we get the kind of one-off girl chapter we were hoping about.
Yeah.
But what if there's misunderstandings in that chapter?
Romantic misunderstandings?
Yeah.
Romantic misunderstandings?
Will Imran still hate that then?
Probably.
What if it's about Onodera?
I don't like Onodera as much as you do.
Oh yeah, what if it's about Chitoge?
Then probably won't hate it as much. But they just had like a Chitoge arc.
How can you not like Onodera the best?
I don't know.
I think we need to have a Miyamoto arc next.
She had her one off. Not...
Yeah, we got the glasses thing.
Yeah.
That's our Miyamoto for the year.
But it's a new year.
You're right.
All bets are off. All right. I guess we're done.
So
with
when
musical.
Do you think the Valentine's Day one is going to happen?
June.
I think that's what we need to have our bet on. Is what month the Valentine's Day one will happen?
June.
We're going to go with May.
That's my guess.
I would say about 6 weeks from now, when they hit 70.
All right, let's all write this down.
No.
Okay.
All right. Now we're done with Nisekoi. On to One Piece. Something, something, caribou, whatever.
Yeah, I'm not even paying attention to it anymore.
It's revolutionaries or something, right?
I don't know. I barely looked at it.
I don't care.
It's a weapon factory.
In Dressrosa. Yeah. Dressrosa is interesting, right?
Yes.
Dressrosa is interesting, so on to One Piece. They finally docked at Dressrosa, and Luffy jumps on top of Momonosuke, demanding he fly him there.
Because Momonosuke can fly.
Which we had all forgotten and not at all thought about since then.
Yeah. I know I didn't.
Because
he remembers...
more, Momonosuke can't remember that he could fly, either.
Because I guess Doflamingo told him he could? Which maybe comes up again soon? Maybe?
Yeah, he kind of has a remembering of, like, a hand coming at him.
I think that this is... I think it's going to be something about how they find out how those air paths thing that Doflamingo had used work. I think it's going to be something he'll remember, and then they'll be able to use them.
I think it's going to be something where Doflamingo has built into all the fake Zoan
that.
Fruit. Yeah, that he can control them.
I'm sure that's the case, because we already saw him have some kind of link with Momonosuke.
Yeah. But yeah, so Momonosuke and Luffy get into an argument about it, because Luffy calls him a wuss.
Well, he is. I mean, come on, he's 8 years old. He should be so much better than that.
I do love that Luffy gets in a fist fight with an 8-year-old.
Well, an argument and then a fist fight.
Yeah.
And Kinemon chastises them both, while Momonosuke uses this opportunity to nuzzle into Nami's chest.
And... he's been far more successful than any of the other men attempting these sort of things.
Yes. And Frankie still looks weird as hell.
Yep. And then Kinemon has probably the best joke in the chapter, where he says that in Dressrosa, men wear dress shirts and women wear nothing.
Which I'm kind of surprised they got away with that on, or in Jump.
It's drawn in kind of like old style.
Yeah, in Ukiyo-A sort of style.
Yeah.
So,
and then in something that will obviously in no way matter.
Law gives everyone a piece of a vivre, or vivre?
Yeah.
How do you pronounce that?
Vivre, I think it is, or something.
Vivre card, which, you know, was the Ace's Dying card. That was
and also the, and also the, you know, everybody is separated at Shibati, therefore this will tell everybody how to find one another again.
So things on Dressrosa aren't going to go totally wrong and have them all get separated, right?
Well, I don't think it's going to be all separated. I think it's going to be that they're going to end up someplace else and the ship's going to have to find them or vice versa.
Yeah, they'll all meet up on Zo at some point.
Yeah. I mean, from the sounds of things, it's not giving it to everybody. I think
it's
just giving it to the people who are staying on the ship.
Yeah.
And then we find out that they are actually dropping off Caesar to Greenbit.
Yeah.
Which there's only one way to get there, which is from Dressrosa, which means Doflamingo knows that they're in Dressrosa?
Yeah, this really surprises me that they're actually getting Caesar back.
I'm sure they have some sort of plan.
Yeah.
Right? Like,
well, I mean, the one thing which we didn't think of last week, I didn't think of until partway through the week, is that Smoker knows that they're going to Greenbit, because that's what Law said.
Yeah.
And they dispatched the Admiral, which means that the Admiral should hypothetically be heading for Greenbit, And so my idea was they weren't going to drop off Caesar, and it's just going to be an admiral hitting on a bunch of Doflamingo's folks.
See, that's what I assumed too.
But now that Greenbit's actually connected to Dressrosa, that makes it a bit more complicated.
And they do seemingly actually intend to drop off Caesar.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there is a team devoted to dropping off Caesar, which is Robin, Law, and Usopp.
And which I suppose is, if you're going to seek level-headed people among the Straw Hats, you could, you know, do a lot worse.
Do you think that's who Law feels comfortable around? It's like, you guys are the most sensible. I'm going to go with you guys.
You're the ones least likely to cause an incident.
Yeah. Least likely to just punch Doflamingo in the face.
And then staying on the Sunny is Momonosuke, Nami, Brook, and Chopper.
Which is a can't-do-anything team, basically.
Kind of a weird mix. Well, Chopper can do stuff, and Brook can do stuff.
And then...
They're just not the heavy hitters.
I don't think they're going to do another attack on the ship while they're docked somewhere again. Like, it's been too recent.
They did that in Fishman Island and Punk Hazard.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, so the...
Yeah, speaking of causing an incident...
the other team...
runs off.
Yeah. Sanji, Kinemon, Frankie, Zoro, and Luffy.
And he does something he hasn't done in a long time. The narration of an area. Where he's basically like travel guiding a new country.
Painting a word picture.
Yeah.
And a drawing picture.
For not Spain.
Yes, for totally not Spain. You know, even though, I can't remember the name of the town. I'll see if I can find this. Like, the images, the actual pictures of the architecture and whatnot are blatantly ripped off of a town in Spain.
Except with one weird twist, which is toy people.
Living dolls.
Yeah.
And I'm just putting this out there right now. I'm going to guess that this is the country that Wapol settled in.
Why do you say that?
Because he makes toys. That's his thing now.
That would make sense. Also, toy people are super creepy.
Yeah.
Just thought I'd throw that out there. Like, genuinely kind of weird.
Yeah, and I found the image I was looking for, and that is...
Oh, you're right, that's exactly like it.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure they probably used imagery of that place. It's in Barcelona someplace. It's a Gaudí Park or something like that. So.
Indeed.
Oh, wait, no, it's a Parc Güell. And it was designed by Antoni Gaudi.
Then that pun doesn't work as well.
Yeah.
Olay.
So yeah, apparently there's a bunch of toy people living here. And this doesn't bother anybody at all.
They're all going to murder you while you sleep from the looks of it.
I have to say, I liked the, juxtaposition of the passionate dancing of their women and Sanji going, I can't get enough of this smell.
I like the juxtaposition that this is a happy-go-lucky, incredibly childlike kingdom that's run by a war criminal.
Yeah. A secret war criminal that's blackmailing most of the world.
And would happily kill almost anybody who crosses him. But they decide to go to a bar/gambling casino?
Just casino, yeah.
Yeah.
To get some drinks.
Put on their beards.
Yes, their disguises, which is fantastic.
Most of them are rocking those beards pretty good.
Yeah. Luffy, not very well.
No.
Frankie, not as much, but I think it's more because it doesn't go with his hair.
Well, he looks like a rabbi now.
He looks like Willie Nelson.
Yeah, that too. And a huge feast gets presented in front of them while the weird monkey from Toy Story 3 tells them a story.
You know those monkeys are real?
Yeah, I've seen pictures.
They're still just as terrifying in real life.
Yeah. And they point out that, or they see someone in the distance that a bunch of thugs are taking advantage of an old blind man who's playing roulette.
Really, not the best game to play if you're blind, I would say.
I assume the old blind man is not as incapable of seeing as he looks.
But probably, at the same time, you would kind of assume that, you know, if you're gonna gamble in a casino and you're blind, not that you should anyway, but roulette is particularly bad.
So those are just like, hey, what do I have? Oh,
those are Doflamingo's men, right?
Probably they're some kind of lowlifes.
Or they're either. Oh, I guess I misinterpreted that. I guess Buffalo polices them generally. Like, he
I think
stops
it's
them
just
from doing this?
He like probably runs the place or something like that.
Yeah.
I don't know. To me, it seems like Doflamingo uses his crew to actually treat his country pretty well.
Yeah, I think what they're implying is that Buffalo Police is the place.
Yeah. So they're messed with the old blind man for a while, and then eventually Luffy comes in and gives him the correct answer.
Yeah, just very nonchalantly tells him that these people are ripping him off.
Yeah, while eating. And Luffy points out, hey, old man, you look kind of strong. And while the thugs are about to attack Luffy, the old man, who, okay, we might as well just say it, it's clearly Fujitora, right?
Yeah.
Like,
he's drawn like an
looks
actor.
Just like the one actor who played the blind swordsman.
Zatoichi?
Yeah, Zatoichi.
Yeah, Shintaro Katsu.
Yeah. Like, that clearly, you know, intentional.
Really, it's easy to spot because he's like the character in this manga that looks Asian.
Pretty much, yeah. But he's clearly the admiral that they dispatched to deal with Law and Luffy.
And it looks like he has some sort of gravity fruit.
Yeah, he unsheathes his sword and a giant black hole, like...
I assumed he just made the big hole there.
Well,
like,
yeah,
like,
but like
about
right
a bottomless pit opens.
Yeah.
Yeah, but right before it, everybody else is saying that like there's some weight that's crushing them.
Yeah.
Or it's in Florida.
Yeah, oh god. It's a terrifying story, don't say that.
Yeah, that's actually a really bad taste joke, but...
I'm glad I live on the second floor.
But yeah, he's very obviously Fujitora.
Yeah, and judging from the fact we didn't see this guy at Marineford, I'm going to make a guess that the two new admirals are going to be former admirals who came out of retirement. Like, that were admirals around the time that Sengoku was.
Yeah, he seems pretty old.
Yeah.
Yeah, there would be two new admirals, wouldn't there?
Yeah.
Because Akinu
promoted. They both left one way or another.
Yeah, there's two new ones and Borsellino, or whatever his actual name is, or
Kizaru.
The code name is.
Kizaru.
Kizaru, yeah.
So do you think Law is going to recognize him?
Law's not there.
Yeah. Law.
Oh, that's true.
You guys think these guys would keep up with the going-ons of the Marines for 2 years?
Luffy just wants to kill Akainu.
Yeah, that's true. Nobody else probably read up.
But do you think Luffy's going to be dumb enough to actually like just say, hey, I'm Luffy? Or they're just gonna, it's going to be a huge thing where he's hanging out with the Straw Hats for a while, but not actually recognizing they're his target?
I think that's what's going to end up happening, honestly. I think is that because he's going to warm up to Luffy because Luffy was nice enough to say, to point out the fact that they were ripping him off. And then, yeah.
Do you guys think he's actually blind? Or just like one of those... He can see Daredevil style.
I think he can see Daredevil style. Because he saw the thugs coming up behind him.
Yeah.
Or at least somewhere near him.
Or he just has white contacts.
He's blind the same way Zoro is blind in one eye now. Which they never have brought up.
Yeah, no. Zoro hasn't had to reveal his Sharingan yet.
Yeah.
Laugh if it's a Sharingan.
It's a special eye. It's Mihawk's eye.
I took it.
Well,
yeah.
What's his name? Oda did say that there is going to be one character in the entire series who has an eye patch.
Yeah,
he's
saving it.
That. Yeah.
I hope it's not something stupid.
I hope so, too.
Just Shanks has an eye patch. Like, I thought I'd go with a new look.
Luffy's going to get it.
No, I think that would make sense that when Luffy gets the grand or the treasure at the Grand Line, he gets an eye patch. Maybe the treasure is the eye patch.
I could deal with that.
It's the one patch. You all misheard me.
I left it all in one patch. How is that not obvious to you? But yeah. Aside from the Fujitora reveal, there wasn't really a whole lot to talk about in this chapter.
Yeah,
it was
good world building. Yeah.
I like
and
the story,
I do enjoy the concept of you know, the team that collectively probably has the worst sense of direction ever being the ones who are supposed to try and find the factory.
Well, Sanji's the adult there.
And rescue the samurai. Well, Kinemon's probably Frank. They're all kind of idiots, aren't they?
Yeah, in different ways.
Assuming there are no women present, Sanji is the adult there.
But we've seen the dancing women on this island, so.
Well, in the immediate area.
Well, actually, women affect Kinemon and Franky too. They're both perverts, also.
Yeah, but Zoro
Frankie
can't
less
find the
so.
ship.
Frankie's a
Zoro will
handful.
probably try to find the ship and head to Green Bit. Actually, that would make a lot of sense. Oh well.
I'm still kind of irritated about that green bit thing. That's just stupid.
I kind of want to see Zoro fight Fujitora.
Yeah, I'm sure that's going to happen. Swords and all.
Yeah. Granted, they have a lot of swordsmen now.
Four?
Like, in general, in the series.
No. I thought you meant, like, on their crew at the
Well,
moment.
even then, yeah, they still have a lot on their crew.
Well, you're saying four, but that's counting Law and
And Kinemon.
Kinemon.
Yeah.
They're
So,
rolling with him now, though.
yeah.
They are, for all intents and purposes, ancillary straw hats.
Straw Hat in name only.
Yeah, thoughts, predictions.
I think Fujitora is going to roll with him a while before they
Yeah.
realize who he is.
Or he realizes who they are.
I think he's going to realize who they are and continue rolling with them to try and find out what they're up to.
Yeah.
I could see him being the kind of admiral that realizes the Straw Hats are not evil.
Which would make Kuma. Well, Kuma was an admiral. He's a Chichibukai.
Yeah, no. There's the different types of justice that they have, right?
Yeah. I could see him quitting and joining whatever the hell Kuzan's doing.
Who, Fujitora?
Yeah.
I
Well,
think we don't know enough about Fujitora
I
to make
mean,
that
like,
just based
if
on
we
this.
were to stretch that idea out,
Of him.
like realizing they're not evil.
Yeah.
I think his entire shtick is that he's not going to be an action sort of person as much as he's going to try and do recon first.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can see him realizing at some point then when they meet up with Law, Law will recognize him.
He's certainly
Yeah.
not what I expected, though.
Yeah. Decent art going on in the character design, at least.
Yeah.
And I suppose that gravity is kind of purple.
Sure.
Sort
Yeah.
of.
If I had to give gravity a color, it'd be purple.
Magneto's power is purple, and that's basically gravity.
His power is purple?
Like when you see it like represented.
Oh.
Magneto is not gravity
It's
at all.
basically gravity.
It's magnetism, which is light gravity for metal.
Yeah.
Face.
It affects things. All
Wow,
right.
that really narrows it down.
So speaking of affecting things and not really, this week's Naruto was really boring, and
Yeah.
I thought it was all right.
You can summarize it in a couple of words. They're continuing to be friends until their families find out. That's it. That's the entire chapter.
Their family finds out about their mutual boy love.
Yeah.
Their
Hashirama, we need to
bromance.
talk about girls.
Let's
Like,
go
I
over.
know both your girlfriend died several times.
Let's go point by point. Madara cannot pee in front of people, which I'm sure will be important to his fight with Naruto.
That would be how they defeat him. Is
Peeing
everyone takes a pee
contest.
break,
Damn it.
and then they make fun of him until he runs away. So,
Yeah,
okay, this is a total
Hashirama.
tangent, but a new Naruto game came out, and
Awful.
they didn't have the story finished
Oh, wait,
for
I'm wrong.
how the Great War ends.
Okay, I thought you were talking about the 3DS game, which is terrible.
Oh no, the HD console one. So they just made up an ending. So apparently Naruto just sort of seals Madara and Tobi runs away.
That could still be what happens.
Actually,
Spoilers.
I want that to be the ending now. Turns out Obito's like, fuck this shit, I'm out of here.
I didn't sign up for this.
But yeah,
So,
hopefully that this one has a better ending than that. But if we ever get to it, it'll be
more
too.
satisfying.
Well, I mean, it'll take a while considering how long this is going.
Yeah.
So, anyway, basically it's just they both have one brother left, and then they basically go over the details of Konoha without
Yeah.
going over the details of Konoha. Sitting atop the
Come up
mountain that
with
will.
the ideas to protect their brothers,
Yeah.
hypothetically.
Have they
They're on.
gotten older in this, like,
Yeah.
period, or?
They
I
look a
don't.
little older.
Maybe sometimes past.
I thought they did, but I couldn't place it, I guess. So they agree to skip stones across the river to say hello. That's their thing. And when Hashirama goes home, his dad explains that he had a Toborama tail him and find out about the Uchiha kid.
Spy on his date.
Yeah. Hashirama thinks that he, like,
He could be spying on you.
yeah, but no, he wasn't. He was my friend. He wouldn't do that. So his father tells him, follow him back, find out all about them, and then kill him. Which Hashirama does not want to do. So they go to the river, they skip the stones, which each has a message of,
Run, basically.
yeah, they're on to you. Get out of
Just
here.
get the hell out of there. And then both of their dads and younger brothers show up to face off.
Which is a weird parallel, but that's who would come for both sides.
It opens up the opportunity for the dads to die.
So I guess Toborama and the other kid know each other too? Izuna?
Yeah, that seems to imply that they probably faced off in the past or something.
But yeah, I guess the dads are going to die, or Toborama is gonna, no, Izuna dies much later, doesn't he?
Yeah, Izuna and Tobirama are both bulletproof right now.
Yeah. Because Toborama is gonna become the second Hokage, and Izuna dies to make Madara go crazy.
Papa Uchiha and Papa Senju are probably going to be the ones that die.
Yeah. I don't know.
And maybe I'm gonna guess that. I'm gonna hope that it's terribly dark, and that the younger brothers, who had been spying on the others, the other two, and seen what was going on,
Like,
end up being the
agree.
ones to kill their own dads.
They agree with the plot to make a city.
I'm super
I don't
over this
think that's gonna
flashback.
happen. I don't think it's gonna happen, but I'm gonna hope.
It's also worth noting that Naruto's on break next week.
Really? That's essentially extending this flashback too.
Just live with it.
I don't want to.
Live
This is
with it, damn
boring. Go back to the Ninja War.
it.
It's crazy how.
Oh wow. Shokugeki no Soma gets the cover page for issues 17 and 18.
Yeah, 2 weeks in a row.
Why?
Because it's
Don't know.
super popular.
Well, okay. You could have just
Not
said because
really.
tits.
I mean,
Because
this week it's
tits.
kind of middle of the road, but.
But tits.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When those decisions were made, it was probably one and two.
Oh wait, that's not cover. It's just saying that it has a color page.
Oh, CP.
Yeah.
Ah, I see. Color page. Oh, okay. Still, color pages for the next 3 weeks.
That's
Crazy.
pretty insane, yeah. So do you have anything to say about Naruto? I mean,
Not
tits.
really. I mean, nothing that we haven't already said.
Like I said, I'm very over this flashback.
It's
Don't
move
know. I
faster. God.
yeah.
And you see, this is funny because I was really down on it in the beginning, and I'm like, yeah, I can deal with this now.
I don't know, it got more interesting in the very last page. But that's it.
This
Like
was
the rest of the
basically just.
manga was meh.
I am interested in reading more. And that's what matters.
The entire chapter is just setting up a fight and stuff we already knew. It just felt so boring.
And we know that neither Izuna or Tobirama are going to die. So there's no tension there either. Like, is there going to be a result that does not happen that Hashirama becomes leader of this ninja village?
And Madara becomes leader of the Uchihas.
Is Hashirama just going to completely misremember his own story?
He's gonna
It's
go,
like.
wait, crap, that's not how it happened. That's how I wanted it to.
And then everyone praised me forever. The end. Oh, wait, what was I saying?
Like, wait, the story doesn't make any sense.
And then it just goes back to Tobirama in like a face palm. It's like my brother's a shameless self-promoter. This whole story was pointless. He doesn't seem like the ultra ninja that Tobirama seems stronger and more dedicated in ninjutsu.
These are not the humble beginnings of a ninja god, to
yeah.
You.
But, I mean, that's what he ends up turning into. So I guess we'll see. All right. You know what? Screw Naruto.
Yeah, on to S-Class.
Yeah. Where baseball...
Screw Naruto seems pretty harsh.
I don't know. There's nothing to talk about with it, so... What are we supposed to do on a podcast with that issue?
We make crap up and talk about old chapters.
Yeah, it's not One Piece.
Remember the Sound 4?
No.
Oh. Okay.
Wasn't it 5?
It was really 6, if you think about it.
Remember how they came out of Kabuto?
God damn it. Then there was that big nose guy. See, that's what we do in Naruto when there's nothing to talk about. We reference Big Nose Kabuto.
Big Nose Sound 4.
Or Big Nose... Yeah, that guy. Yeah. Anyway, Assassination Classroom.
Yeah, yes. Baseball.
Yeah, sports manga chapter.
Or that guy from chapter 2 comes back.
Yeah, Sugino. You didn't remember him?
No. Well, I mean, I only remembered him because baseball.
You remember his one character trait that he's had so far?
Yes.
Baseball.
Yeah, he's still friendly with all the baseball people, despite being kicked off the team because he got in Class E.
Well, friendly-ish.
Well, they think he's below them.
Yeah,
but...
and then also, just for people who might not be aware, Yankee does not mean American. No, Yankee is a term for, you know, punks in Japan.
Yeah. Yeah, they're all hanging out with Karma and trying to figure out what they're going to do for the next couple of days. Which is, one of them is using Nagisa as bait for punks.
I love that he's on a literal fishing pole.
Yeah. The total deadpan face. Yeah, so they're watching the baseball club play, and they're talking to Sugino. That was it.
Yeah.
And making fun of him for being in Class E, because he's not one of the chosen people.
Well, of course, they are chosen.
Yeah, because he...
Don't you
he
see
was...
the jut of his manly jaw?
Sugino was the former ace before he got knocked down to Class E.
Yeah. Which, I kind of wonder what... We saw with Karma that he got in a fight. He pushed, or he punched someone that was in a higher class.
I think that Sugino's was just that poor grades.
Was it?
Yeah.
Yeah, he was not good. He wasn't good at balancing sports and studying. I think he went all sports.
Yeah, and these guys are great at sports and studying.
Which...
Because they're the chosen ones.
Yes, chosen people.
And Karma starts to... Karma snarks at them, and they kind of take it seriously. Which, I feel like Karma could probably just beat the shit out of all of them.
Yeah. With a knife.
Yeah.
With a Nerf knife.
They mentioned the inter-class sports championship or whatever.
Yeah, where all the classes, except Class E, are in tournament.
Yeah. They're the exhibition match.
Yeah, it's not even against the winners. It's just, like, against the actual boys' baseball team.
Yeah.
And the girls against the girls' basketball team.
Who are represented by animals who are wearing cute bow ties. Which they didn't really talk a whole lot about this chapter.
Well, I'm sure that'll be after the baseball arc.
They're very much focusing on the boys this week.
Yeah, okay. They just wanted to set it up.
Yeah.
Yeah, they also established that, you know, there's one of the girls is really good at, you know, being a leader, so she can probably take care of the basketball while Koro-sensei focuses on the boys.
I wish they didn't let Rito, or Rito, what's her name, Rita or Rito?
Ritsu.
Ritsu, there we go. I'm terrible with names today. They didn't let her play, they just dismissed it in a one-off joke.
Yeah. I would have enjoyed getting her to see her as one of the basketball players, too.
Yeah. And Koro-sensei is surprised at how good a leader she is, and asks Sugino if they, like, have a chance to win in baseball. He's like, no. Just, we have no experience and they're really good.
But
he wants to win anyway. And then there's no training arc or anything. They just go to the game after that.
With Koro-sensei dressed up as a baseball.
Yeah. Because
it's a wonderful disguise.
He's living his sports coach fantasy. And he even brought a small table to flip over.
Yes, I love that. If he gets mad.
Yeah. Which makes sense, because I can't think of a sports movie where the coach doesn't do that.
Yeah, and I mean, he does say, I, Coach Coral, shall train you and give you a winning strategy, and then it kind of has a one shot of the field. And I think it's basically the idea is he did help train them in baseball, but it kind of skipped over that.
Glossed over it.
Yeah.
So a couple of the baseball team people, or is that baseball team or is that a regular class?
I think that's a class winning
class,
championship.
Yeah.
Okay. They're celebrating their victory, and that girl from a couple of chapters ago is flirting with like the class ace.
Yeah, and the guy from that same chapter a couple chapters ago sees her doing this, and they get angry at each other.
Her cheat on somebody?
Never.
Never gonna happen.
And then the two dorks that are always picking on
Nagisa
are also there. They were on the losing team.
And they're like, man, it sucks, but at least we get to see Class E lose.
So the entire baseball team comes in. Sugino thinks it's going to be like an overwhelming victory, but they're going to show him what for.
Yeah.
And Kuro-sensei is hidden in the outfield as a baseball.
Did he shrink, or is it just a perspective thing?
I don't know. He's the same size as those other baseballs.
I think it's a perspective thing.
The grass seems pretty big around him.
Because he showed that he can dip down if need be.
Yeah.
Yeah, so he says he'll give his strategies by changing color.
And Nagisa's job is apparently being the cipher.
Yeah.
He turned from turquoise to purple to okra, which means make a killing with this win.
I like the okra one best because it looks like he's vibrating and screaming.
Yes. But he actually is screaming.
Yeah. Rah.
And he says, make a killing with this win. So that's the setup.
So sports manga next week.
Yep. This manga can transition very gracefully.
Doesn't Koro-sensei makes a joke earlier about like always wanting to be in a sports manga or something, right?
Yeah.
He wanted to be the hot-blooded coach.
I mean, this manga goes from like Death Note style, I tricked you, no, I tricked you sort of thing, to battle manga, to sports manga, almost immediately.
Well, think about what happened just last week.
Yeah.
Like, he was fighting a student, you know, throwing him through a wall, like a battle to the death in the classroom.
Yeah. And it had serious moments and, like, incredibly good gag moments, too.
And now he's turning purple as a baseball and screaming.
Yeah. I mean, we said it before, but it's a very fluid manga with a very talented mangaka.
Yeah, had he done anything prior to the series?
I think he was an assistant on Bobobo.
Yeah.
But he hadn't done his own series before.
No, not. I think he did a few one-shots, if I remember.
Because if this is a first, like, actual series, I mean, it's solid for him.
He had three one-shots. Oh, no, wait, he did. Oh, no, that's right. This is the guy that did Noro. Majin, Tantai, Nogami, Noro. That's right, so he had a long-running series before this. I think I'm getting confused with somebody else.
Oh, I'm kind of curious to read that, if it's, like, half as good as this one.
Yeah, he was an assistant on Bobobo.
Yeah, which really explains the art style. Because that's why he does gags so incredibly well. Bobobo is one of those gag mangas that really transcends cultural divides.
Yeah, it looks like Majin is comedy, horror, mystery, psychological, shonen, supernatural.
That sounds like this, too.
Yeah, it's a mystery of the week kind of thing, but with magic. I should go back and read it.
23 volumes.
202 chapters.
Jesus, that's a lot.
That's 4 years.
But I mean, now he's... I would say Assassination Classroom has a chance to be a jump tentpole.
Oh, definitely.
I think it kind of already is.
I'm not talking about, like, you know, the... You know, it's popular, but I don't think it's on the level of, say, One Piece and Naruto.
It doesn't have the history of it yet, but it's been up there week in, week out.
Yeah. We talk about it last every week for a reason.
Yeah. Well, this week it's because it was the cover, but...
Oh, well, yeah.
But it's usually...
Yeah. Cover aside, it's usually the last one. I think they're once they start... I would say by the end of the year, they're probably going to announce an anime for it. And then they're going to start merchandising it, and that's when it's going to blow up.
Well, they already have that plushy Koro Sensei that you could get through a contest in Jump.
Yeah.
Which looks amazing, and I want one.
Apparently that Koro Sensei Twitter has like 30,000 followers.
You know what I want is the Revoltech Koro Sensei with like a dozen posable tentacles.
They should bring back like Stretch Armstrongs.
Yes.
Just those like octopuses that you throw at the wall and they walk down it.
Oh, those are cool too.
Just have a Koro Sensei one.
Yeah.
But yeah, I can definitely see this and Nisekoi both getting animes in the near future.
Yeah, Nisekoi definitely.
Yeah, I would say probably those two for next season.
I can't think of anything else.
I can't say that I'm interested necessarily in watching either of them.
No, those will be terrible.
I'll watch Nisekoi.
I'd watch it to see who the voice cast was, but some stuff I think lends itself better to manga. I think Assassination Classroom is one of those things, and I think like Bakuman was one of those that like I don't know why they had an anime of it.
Yeah, yeah. I think Nisekoi might actually lend itself better to being an anime. I just don't really have an interest in going through a bunch of romance stuff that I've already read.
Yeah.
But what if Onodera has a really cute voice?
I don't think it would make a difference.
Are you going to be really mad if her boyfriend shows up at a party with her?
Yeah. Yes.
You can write letters.
1,500 of them.
Oh, that guy. All right, so thoughts, predictions. How's the game going to go next week?
They're going to win? I hope Koro Sensei doesn't help them cheat.
Yeah, no, I definitely hope that Koro Sensei doesn't cheat, and I'm wondering whether it's going to be an outright win or if it's going to be the sort of thing where they end in a tie, because building up to them winning already seems like kind of quick.
I assume it's going to be a biased referee or something.
They made a huge deal out of the other team is going to be going for a blowout, so they have to invoke the mercy rule, and I think that what's going to end up happening is that they make it go to a full game down to the wire.
Yeah.
What if the other team, the school team, just starts like actively cheating to win, and then the chairman's there and he's like, "No, you see everyone, like they're just showing school spirit," you know, and comes up with like some stupid workaround logic.
I assume like the umpire or something is going to cheat for the team, the school team.
Yeah, the chairman. I wonder if he'll play into this somehow.
Maybe he is the umpire.
Yeah, I could see that.
It would be funny if Koro Sensei takes the place of the umpire at some point. Just Sonic speeds in.
And his team freaks out.
Yeah.
I just hope it's not like Koro Sensei, Sonic's in, readjust their bats so that they hit the ball and like leaves. Because that always just feels a little bit empty when it's just he does it for them.
I really hope it's not that. I could see him, if the other team starts cheating, I could see him undoing whatever they're doing to cheat.
I would also see if they're cheating, like, see a guy slide in for home and him move the guy over, like, 5 feet so he slides into nothing.
Yeah. I'm actually way more interested in the basketball game because I just like basketball more than baseball.
Also, it'd be cool to see him play against giant monsters.
Yes. Also, we haven't seen the girls' basketball team because I'm sure they're jerks.
Yeah. That'd be funny if they just win, like, off-panel. She's like, yeah, we did it.
Yeah, it's like, okay, we focused on the baseball, but we're not going to do this again.
It's like the girls are hyper-competent and just did it on their own.
We let Ritsu play.
Let the one that looks like Nagisa play.
That's the way they should do it. The girl that looks like Nagisa gets injured, and Nagisa has to sub.
That would be incredibly silly, and but it would give them their excuse to actually focus on the team, since he is the, you know,
the cipher.
Yes, he's the eyes of
the audience.
Yeah,
yeah. Honestly, I wasn't too into this chapter because I knew it was going to be one of those things where they were going to end it before the game actually started.
That being said, they did seem to bustle through a lot of the setup.
Like, yeah.
They got there quick.
I was worried there would be a training arc. Yeah. Good gags, at least. Which Assassination Classroom rarely disappoints. Assassin's Creed gags are usually not that great.
Assassination Classroom Black Flag.
Yeah.
Assassin's Creed ripoff manga.
There is an Assassin's Creed manga, so somebody should actually
I've
just combine the two somehow. Make Koro Sensei into Ezio.
Yeah, I should. I think I showed you anime Ezio.
Yeah, that like he'd trip and then like try to get up, Moe style or something. It was weird.
Just want to see like Koro Sensei look up and there's a dude in a white robe, like a white hood, like sitting in the rafters above watching him.
Turns out Koshiro is actually Ezio. It makes sense.
Follow the bloodline. Okay, we have to stop this.
Yeah.
This is just getting stupid.
Yep.
Getting.
As jump casts tend to do at the end. So this has been your Thursday, March 7th jump cast. Guys, thank you for coming.
Thank you.
We'll see you all next week.
All right, I think that I need to go check Tumblr to make sure that Ace is still dead.
Can't be sure.
He lives on in the fruit.
The fruit contains genetic memory of Ace. We can bring him back.
Oh, hey, they have new music here. And the last update was 1 hour ago. This is still running.
I love that it's always like 45 minutes ago whenever we check.